This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Feminism in your ears. It's another broad podcast on Joy 94.9. Keep listening. Hashtag feminism. Hashtag podcast. Hashtag broad on Joy 94.9.
So you had the big launch last night. It must have been pretty amazing.
Yeah, just very surreal, actually.
I bet.
I'm still kind of like trying to wrap my head around how, just how amazing it was. And I don't know, just how, I guess, how privileged I feel that so many people came out to support the book and that there's such a vibrant feminist scene in Melbourne.
This is Sonia, this is Broad on Joy 94.9, and we have the honour and it's a wonderful pleasure to speak to Clementine Ford on Broad. It almost rhymes. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Sonia. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, it's been such a very busy, and this is a climactic time for you with the release of Fight Like a Girl, this book. A long time coming. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, it's very surreal. You know, one of the questions that I'm being asked a lot is how long it took me to write the book. And, you know, practically, I guess it took me just under a year to write. But really, it's a book that's been years in the making, you know. It's a book that's really been evolving throughout my entire life because the book is about girls' experience of being in the world and living in a world which undermines us and which marginalises us and oppresses us in all sorts of different ways. So it's a lifetime of experience and, you know, journeying through that, I guess, being put down on the page.
Well, it feels that from what I've been able to, and I apologise, I haven't had a chance to read all of it.
It's okay.
I'll tell you why. I keep getting distracted. It is not fun to try and read this book in public. I can tell you before the launch, you know, before the actual release, which is Wednesday the 28th of September. So,
is that because, why is that?
Well, I got accosted a couple of times, but in a good way. Yesterday I was on the 86 tram, and it's always a, you know, an interesting ride, the 86 tram, and here in Melbourne. And I had this voice, I heard this voice at the side of my ear saying, "Excuse me, oh my God, excuse me, could I take a photo of your book cover?" I'm serious. And she wanted to take
I think that might have been my friend Anna.
English? No?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. English by origin. Yeah, so
English
she was
by origin, yep.
Yes, and she tagged, I think she must have tagged you probably.
Yeah.
But it was just so, and she'd been on a writer's conference or something, a retreat or something with you. And
yeah, we're
really
both,
exciting.
I met her at, we're both fortunate enough to go to Varuna, which is in the Blue Mountains and is a place that, you know, provides amazing scholarships and fellowships for writers in Australia to finish writing their books or to write large chunks of their books. And I met her there, and yeah, she's a wonderful Australian writer.
Yeah.
I love her very much.
Well, look who you bump into on the 86. It's amazing. But I thought, oh, this is interesting. And then this morning, a similar thing happened again on the 86. It was just this woman goes, "Oh, what is that all about?" And then I just, she pointed at my cover and I went, "Oh, do you like the look of it?" She says, "Oh, I don't know about that. What is that all about? And what's this? What's this?" You know, and then, we just started talking and she goes, "Oh, wow, this sounds amazing." And, you know, just carrying the book around. Wish I had a t-shirt, but you know, it's amazing. The responses already. And, like you said, it's kind of surreal for you as well.
And also because, you know, it's true, like that kind of reaction is not, I imagine what wouldn't be uncommon because the concept of what that means to some people is still either quite challenging or quite confronting, or even, you know, even the fact that it's got "like a girl" in the title and, you know, part of the reason for that title is that we are conditioned to view women and girls as being lesser somehow. And, you know, many people deny that that's a reality that exists, but that is the reality that we live in. And we know that because we do have phrases like "a girl" used constantly, and people pretend that they use them as jokes or whatever. But it, when you kind of like strip that back and ask them to explain why it's funny, why is that funny? Why is it funny? Why is it meaningless to talk about the way that girls do things as being less than or being rubbish somehow? And you know, then you extrapolate and recognize that we still live in a world which subjects girls and women to, you know, extraordinary levels of violence. To be born into this world and to be a girl is not something that gives you people, you know, the exploitation and the violence that awaits us in all sorts of different ways is huge. And there's no way that you can kind of discount that. You know, something that I struggle with is people who argue that, you know, well, equality has been achieved and all this feminism rubbish is just going too far. And on that note, I love Judy Horacek's, Judy Horacek, the cartoonist. She's got a wonderful cartoon strip where it's just a group of women walking along and they walk past a man and he says, "You feminists have gone too far." And then in the next frame he says, "The party's back that way." But yeah, you know, we live in a world where equality hasn't been achieved, and yet people will argue that it has. And in the same breath, when you say to them, "Well, what do you say about violence against women? What do you say about sexual violence? What do you say about the fact that 1 in 5 girls over the age of 15 will experience some form of sexual violence in her lifetime?" And their response usually seems to be, "Well, that's the world.
That's, you know, that's what it's like for a girl." Nature. Yeah. And it's kind of like what you've got to expect.
You believe that we live in a world that's equal. And yet at the same time, you believe that it's just human nature to, that's just something that we can't challenge or change. That the reality of violence against girls and women is just a human nature kind of deal. It's just a fact.
Yes.
And then funnily enough as well, you know, as a feminist, being accused all the time of demonizing men and thinking that, you know, why do you make out all men to be potential rapists? And you think, well, I don't. I live in my mindset. Demands more of men than that and expects that men can be more than that. It's the mindset that says that women need to modify their behavior because otherwise they should know what to expect, that actually positions men as, you know, like a necessary threat.
Exactly. Yeah, so that sort of threat that when you come into the world, it doesn't really, like you explain in your book, without giving it away. Obviously, you want people to get this book, purchase it.
Don't give away the ending.
Don't give away the ending. Not at all. No, but just the idea that you reach a certain age, and it's true for a lot of girls. It may depend culturally on what age that might be, but generally you reach that pubescent puberty age where your body is developing and into becoming an older woman and an older girl creature, a person. And that's when, like you point out, the attention, the unwanted attention begins, the sort of, the commodifying of what you are. You become, at the same time, a consumer product too.
The recognition that your body becomes public property and that we should just put up with that. That girls and women are responsible for everyone else's behavior and boys and men are not responsible for their own behavior. But also that, you know, it's funny because one of the many, many things that is sort of thrown at me by people who disagree with me or people who want somehow to discount what I'm saying is that I just do things for attention. You know, this is just another attention-seeking stunt.
Because and women that's get that what all the time.
Yeah, when women speak up and when women assert themselves politically, we're just doing it for attention.
Yeah, well, we are, but
of course we're doing it for attention. Of course we want attention for the things that we're passionate about. What is wrong with a woman wanting attention for her work and for her passion? But, of course, women are not supposed to want attention. Women are not supposed to seek attention on our own terms. And yet at the same time, when women complain about the unwanted attention that they get from men in the streets or the unwanted attention they get from men on the internet or whatever it might be, these are things that we're just supposed to either tolerate, we're supposed to accept as compliments, or we're supposed to tolerate, and if we don't like it, then we can, you know, then we should leave the situation. So it's interesting. We're not allowed to dictate the terms of attention as we want them, but the attention we don't want, we have to put up with.
Yeah, you have to allow the time.
It just shows how so much of what frames our experience in the world is even conceived of by other people as being something that we are not entitled to have any power over.
And that's the point, I think, obviously the book, it does lean towards that too, and getting people to, and it actually encouraging, I guess, women to stand up more, get that attention, and at the same time, yeah, it's important to hold that stage, really. But it's always about performance. We're not a perform. It's not about performance. It's not. So many of the cliches and terms, as you point out, rigged or structured for us to look like it's always about wanting that attention. The focus is always about us as a sexual object, or an object of derision as well.
And what it kind of indicates is that the people who insist on viewing things that way can't conceive of women as anything other than the object of the gaze. And, of course, I mean the G-A-Z-E gaze.
Yeah, not the Pauline Hanson gaze.
Yeah, not the Pauline Hanson, you know, ignorance gaze.
Yes.
Because women, to them, exist as being things to consume, it confuses them when we assert ourselves as something other than that. And we're not allowed to do that. You know, we must be punished for it. But one of the, and of course there are some horrific punishments that await women around the world for speaking up for themselves and speaking out. But one of the things that women do as well is that we are afraid of, we can be afraid of just verbal backlash because it hurts and because it is threatening, and I understand that. But the process that I've gone through to sort of be, okay with that has resulted in me really not caring that much at all about the things that men say to me, the names that they call me. And once you kind of come to terms with that within yourself, and once you realize that it's just their pathetic way of trying to silence you and control you, it's actually incredibly liberating because you no longer worry about what that backlash will be for you, and you just suddenly have this voice that you're allowed to use, you know, that you give yourself permission to use.
That's almost expected. And now, I think, for you, would you say that it's expected that you are that voice and you're the go-to person? Do you think this book, do you think Fight Like a Girl will be that book?
I hope so. Of course I want it to be that book, you know. But the thing is, I want it to be one of many books. I want it to be one of many things that girls and women can not only turn to, but also produce themselves, that, you know, signify this great change in the way that we take that space back, you know, that shows just how much women and girls are standing together now to occupy the space that belongs to us, but that's traditionally been taken away from us. And to do it without fear and without apology and without concession and without any of this kind of traditional niceness and politeness, because I don't know if I can say this on your radio station, but fuck being polite. Being polite never got us anywhere.
No, you can say what you like. That's great. That's expected, too, of us. I get asked that. Yeah. I get told, look, you know, you can swear on Sonia's show, you know, because it's a feminist show. And I go, yeah, okay, whatever. You can do whatever. You know, it's quite funny. You're supposed to be this rowdy kind of like, ooh, extremist. Yeah. And it's kind of, it's just women talking. Well, I shouldn't say just women talking. Well, yeah. It's women talking. It's about ideas.
It's women talking, but it is incredible how many people don't seem to understand that is just a conversation. You know that they still see it as being something that's niche. Or, you know, I have even very well-meaning people. You know, there's quite a few male fans who are on my Facebook page. You know, I do have men who follow my work, but I have quite a few well-meaning men who say things like, you know, I'm looking forward to buying this book for my daughter, which is great. I would love for them to buy this book for their daughter. But I also would like them to read it themselves.
Yes.
You know, it's not a book that's just for girls, even though, of course, that's my primary target. And as I'm quite unapologetic in stating, I do write for women. I don't write for men. But that doesn't mean that men can't get something out of it.
Exactly. Have you tried the French... the Canadian Prime Minister? I'm sure he'd pass it on to his son.
Oh, good old Justin.
Isn't he the pin-up for some?
I should send him a copy.
I reckon.
Yeah, but, you know, but that's not to be too churlish or anything like that. Yeah. But, you know, it's great that we've got a Prime Minister who's modelling that behaviour, but that's that's what prime ministers should do.
Yeah, and somewhere in the world,
I get a little bit bored with this sort of like, you know, we're so surprised to see overt feminist action from men that we kind of like see it and then we, you know, foist all of this these accolades and this attention and praise on them. You know, like, oh, Justin Trudeau, what an amazing man. He's so attractive, blah, blah. It's like, well, yes, he is attractive. But, you know, he shouldn't. Feminism is something that men can claim now and it gives them more space. And it's still something that when women claim decreases the space that we are allowed to occupy. You know, it's still a radical act for a woman to declare herself a feminist, even though it's becoming more popular.
Yes, yeah. No, it's a bit like the ally system that we have, I guess, in the LGBTIQA community. It's pretty similar to the being an ally and all of that kind of thing.
Oh, my God, yeah, like Karl Stefanovic being given an award for being horrifically transphobic and then apologising. I mean, we set the bar so low.
Very low. And it actually hurts. It actually, in my opinion, it hurts the community because it's saying all these other people have done wonderful work, just won't be given that, you know.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Given that focus and attention.
Because there's this sort of like gratitude that's still expected, you know, because people, certain groups don't have to care about you. So when they do, we're supposed to be so grateful for it.
Yeah, bend over backwards.
I just think, fuck gratitude.
Exactly.
Yeah, like it's as it could be.
Yeah.
I apologize. I have a baby strapped to my chest. And he is about to lose his shit.
Is he? Right.
Maybe literally.
Yeah. Oh, wow. He's good at doing that. Excellent. Well, he's got a great role model and a mother for sure.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Sonia.
Well, I will wrap it up because you clearly need to do the right parenting things. So, but I wonder before Sorry.
Yes.
I wonder before you go if both of you or one of you could do a station ID for the show.
Absolutely. Obviously, just on the phone is okay?
Yeah, that's fine. Just obviously your name, something you want to say, and you're listening to Broad on Joy 94.9. That'll be excellent.
Okay. Hi, this is Clementine Ford. You're listening to Broad on Joy 94.9 FM, and I'm encouraging all of you to fight like a girl just as I know Sonia does.
Thank you. That's excellent, Clementine. Look, good luck with the book. I believe it's already a bestseller.
Thank you.
Yeah, with all the pre-sales, it's looking fantastic. And I'm looking forward to the television adaptation directed by Jane Campion and friends. And
wouldn't that be wonderful?
You know, I reckon it could be I think it could be a 6-episode piece. And just get your favorite female woman or male directors to do an episode each. What do you reckon? More work for you?
Yeah, I'd love for them all to be women. Yeah,
that would be cool. I can think of a few. All right.
Yeah.
Well,
thank you
good
so
luck.
Much, Sonia. I'm sorry I had to dash quickly.
No, that's cool. That's perfect timing.
Bye.
Thank you. Take care.
Thank you. Take care. Bye.
Cheers. Bye. And that was our interview with the fantastic Clementine Ford, Fight Like a Girl. The book is out. It's out now by the time this podcast is up. 28th of September it was published. And as Anne Summers says, the book I've been waiting for, an impassioned call to arms for girls of all ages. But I think men should read it too. The males out there, have a go, have a read. It's a great, very nice tactile cover with embossed words in a lovely orange saying, fight like a girl. So thank you very much, Clementine Ford, for chatting to us here on Broad, your first time on Broad, and hopefully not the last. And we wish you all the best. And yes, kia kaha and power to you. This is Sonia on Broad on Joy 94.9.
Oh, so what do you want me to say?
Like, your name? Embrace?
Yeah. Hi, I'm Taryn. I'm Taryn Brumford. I'm the director of Embrace. And no, you tell me what I say.
This is Taryn Brumford, director of Embrace. And you're listening to Broad on Joy 94.9. See, I never say.
Oh my God,
I'm Taryn with a different voice.
You could do it for me.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Taryn Brumford. I'm the director of Embrace, and you're listening to Broad on Joy 94.9.
Perfect. That was great.
Good.
As long as I don't mark up which one to edit. Oh, sorry.
There you go.
And then they hear my voice. No, you're not. That's on you, not Taryn.
Thank you. You've been listening to a broadcast on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.